This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Friday, February 7th. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. The WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. A popular exhibit at the Chicago Auto Show is back for 2025. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the government jobs report for January leads today's data. We're joined by Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy, Wells Fargo Investment Institute there in St. Louis, Missouri. Paul, thanks for your time again today. Now, the latest jobs report shows modest gains while the unemployment rate fell. How do you view the overall health of the job market?
Thanks, Judson. The overall health of the job market is still good. I would not say it's overly hot the way it was a couple of years ago. Job growth is much closer to what it was in the years prior to the pandemic. But there are some warning signs out there, even amid some of that strength.
So one bright spot was the wage growth. It came in strong. Should we expect that to continue?
Yes, the wage growth was strong. Still too early to figure out if that was a one-time pop. It was a 5% increase, which is a very big move. Maybe that was affected somehow by the fires out in Los Angeles, depending upon who was out of a job and who was not. But in general, wages have been a source of strength for the labor market.
Yeah, we also have data on the consumer sentiment today. What's your read on that?
So consumer sentiment took a little bit of a drop here, and it's not unusual for it to vary from one month to the next. So we wouldn't get too excited about it. We think it's still a good investment environment for equity investors and fixed income investors. But that decline has been associated with maybe some fear around potential tariffs to come and potential inflationary impacts of those tariffs.
We're talking to the head of global investment strategy of the Wells Fargo Investment Institute, Paul Christopher, today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Paul, what's the biggest threat to the economy right now?
Well, we would say that the biggest threat to the economy right now is that we get long-term interest rates that go up too much. We're looking for the 10-year Treasury in that 4.5% to 5% yield range. If it gets much above 5%, you'll start to see mortgage rates really become unaffordable once again, and you'll start to see capital get very expensive for companies who want to be able to expand. And so that would put a crimp in the economies from two different directions, from housing and from manufacturing.
Paul, finally, the million or even billion-dollar question. What's your forecast for the economy moving forward?
We think the economy is going to grow this year, maybe not quite as fast as last year, but the growth we think will be solid enough to drive a 10% or so earnings gain in the S&P 500. Again, as I mentioned, we think this is a good environment for equities broadly, and we would also be moving money out of those CDs and out of those savings accounts and money markets into fixed income bonds, maybe with a 3 to 7 year maturity window.
Paul, thanks so much for your time today. Again, that's Paul Christopher, Head of Global Investment Strategy, Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis, Missouri. Coming up, the return of Cam Jeep to the Chicago Auto Show.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, I like to think of myself as a bit of a car guy, and then I talk to our next guest. The Chicago Auto Show opens to the public tomorrow. Let's take a look at some of the hottest exhibits with Jeff Buckles in studio right now, our WBBM editor and Chicago Auto Show producer. Jeff, let's begin with Camp Jeep, if we could. Did you get the full experience of Camp Jeep?
I did get the full experience. I've lived in Chicago for
25 or so years. And this was the first time I'd ever done the Camp Jeep experience. So I got the ride. Our producer, Patrick Rushman, and I got the ride around the track in a Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4xe, which is the plug-in hybrid Wrangler. It was wild. This is Camp Jeep's 20th year at the Chicago Auto Show. They told me that they've given 600,000 rides in Chicago since they began.
Wow.
Of course, they took last year off. Stellantis, the parent company of Jeep, was not at the show last year because of what they at the time said were challenging market conditions. Mm. Apparently, things aren't as challenging anymore because they're back. And the track has been redone a little bit, and people can ride in any number of Wranglers, Gladiators. They even have the Wagoneer S, which is the all-electric version of the Wagoneer, available for rides on the track this year.
So the Camp Jeep is a must-do. You mentioned it. The hybrid vehicles, they are making a splash this year.
We've seen in the trends and the sales trends over the last year that hybrid vehicles are really surging in popularity. And yesterday at the show, Subaru premiered the first ever Forester hybrid. Subarus are popular in the Chicago area. They have all-wheel drive. They have enough room for Costco runs and that kind of thing. And the folks at Subaru say the hybrid Forester, which borrows some technology from Toyota, which has an alliance with Subaru, will give up to 9 to 10 miles per gallon more than the standard gas engine Forester. That'll be available in a few months in dealers starting around $35,000. They also announced there's going to be a wilderness version of the Forester with kind of knobby tires and some other cues, higher ground clearance, and that's coming out in the fall as a 2026. They haven't said how much it costs yet.
I will actually be making a Costco run in my Subaru Forester tomorrow. So
you just
described my life. Jeff Buckles, WBBM editor and our expert here of the Chicago Auto Show at WBBN. So, Jeff, the VinFast Auto, right? Help us understand what exactly the VinFast Auto is and why people should check it out.
People at the show this year will be able to see the first car sold in the U.S. built in Vietnam. The VinFast is built by the Vingroup in Hanoi. It's a big conglomerate. They're in everything from supermarkets to real estate. They've been building cars since 2017, so not very long at all. And they have decided that they, like the Beatles, need to conquer America. So they are here. There is a dealer in Lisle. They have two vehicles they're selling. They are all electric. The VF8 is a two-row SUV. It's aimed at the Tesla Model Y, which is a good benchmark because that's the best-selling electric vehicle in the world. And a VF9, which is a three-row SUV. It seats seven. It's about the size of a Kia EV9, if you've seen one of those. And they are offering really a high feature count and really aggressive pricing. I think one of the salespeople to whom I spoke yesterday said that they're offering leases on the VF8, the two-row, of like $250 a month with nothing down.
Wow.
The idea is they know that they have to compete against some heavy hitters, particularly in this kind of transition time for the electric vehicle marketplace, right? And it's also a brand that no one's ever heard of. So they're offering like 10-year warranties and that sort of thing to get people in the door. And the VinFast VF8 is on the Chicago Drive Electric track, which is inside McCormick Place. There are two tracks at the south end of the hall where people can drive the VinFast for themselves, along with a number of other electric cars, including, and this is something that Chicago hasn't seen yet, the new Dodge Charger Daytona EV, which we checked out yesterday and is super cool.
Jeff, thanks for talking cars.
Absolutely.
Jeff Buckles, WBBM editor and Chicago Auto Show producer. You will hear features all weekend on the Chicago Auto Show right here on WBBM. Up next, Philadelphia Eagles fans have a chance to feel like they're at home when watching the Super Bowl in Chicago on Sunday.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, fans of the Philadelphia Eagles can cheer for their team during Sunday's Super Bowl alongside birds of a feather. Let's find out where they will be flocking to. We welcome Steve Kavaka, Chief Operating Officer, Last Call Tavern Group right here in Chicago. Steve, thanks for your time. By the way, those Eagles bars, the Reveler and Rebel Eye, they will be packed. Steve, tell us about how you became really the home of Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Well, thanks for having me on this afternoon. We've been Birds Bars for quite a while, friends of friends kind of came over and asked us if we were looking to have a new home for their Philly fan group in Chicago, and we were very welcoming to get them on board several years ago. And here we are today, getting ready for the big game on Sunday at both the Reveler in Roscoe Village and Rebel and Rye down off Grand Avenue.
So how does one become a specific bar of a specific team?
It's all about the partnership and the fans. We are true Philly bars. We only show the Philly games, for NFL game days, for, obviously all of our bird fans. We bring in specials. We have a special menu for our Philly fans, with Omarosa rolls coming from Philly, the Krabby Fries, everything that you would expect to get if you're in Philly watching the game at one of the bars or at the stadium, in Philadelphia to watch our birds. Drink specials, entertainment, prizes, giveaways. We really make it an environment that is second to none except for being at the game in Philly at one of our locations in Chicago.
Steve, can you elaborate a little bit on those Philly dishes, that food and cocktails, and how you can make it feel as much like you're dining in Philadelphia as you possibly can?
Absolutely. My culinary team, we came up with the menus many years ago, and our big seller is the Philly sandwich. We use fresh Omarosa rolls. The shaved ribeye, cheese whiz, just like you'd get in Philly. We've got the Krabby Fries, which is a secret spice that we actually got the recipe from one of our partners with the Philly Fans Group of Chicago that goes on top of the fries with a special cheese sauce, and then obviously our pulled pork and chicken sandwich, which they serve at the stadium. So they really get a taste of home when they're in Chicago that you really can't get anywhere else.
Steve, the partnership with Chicago's Philadelphia Fans Club, how has that impacted business, especially this year?
Oh, it's huge. Dean and Jason are the two gentlemen that run the group, and they are amazing partners to work with. They've got a huge following, and they push their fans, the loyal bird fans, to our locations because they know what we're going to bring to them each and every game, whether it's regular season, playoffs, obviously the Super Bowl this year. But great group of guys, and they work hand in hand with us, all year on promotions and special events with our Philly fans. And we make it, again, like I said, it there's nothing else than being at one of our locations for a Birds game, second to none of just being at the stadium. The energy, the people. We've got over 3,000 reservations already that came in as soon as the Super Bowl, as soon as they won the NFC Championship. So we've got bird fans going to all of our locations this Sunday to watch the game with fellow bird fans.
You want to give us a prediction?
Birds by five.
By five. All right. So
by
that
five.
Means they'll cover. Good stuff,
yeah,
Steve.
Yes, they will cover.
Steve, thanks so much for your time. That's Steve Kavaka, Chief Operating Officer, Last Call Tavern Group, right here in Chicago. Of course, he sees over the Reveler and Rebel Eye, two huge Eagles bars that you can imagine will be packed on Sunday with the Chiefs and the Eagles squaring off in Super Bowl 59. Still ahead on Entrepreneur Friday, a business school dedicated to helping empower Black and Brown communities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart today. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Mike Krauser. Thornton Township trustees vote to fire the boyfriend of the township supervisor.
A federal judge hears arguments over President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship. In Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the president of a suburban business school focused on advancing communities of color. And the death of Bears owner Virginia McCaskey raises questions about the future of the franchise. WBBM Business, the Dow down 281, S&P down 30, the NASDAQ down 172. Again, that AccuWeather the forecast says going to reach about a high of 33 degrees today. It's going to be a mix of clouds and sun, brisk and cold. Overnight, mainly cloudy. Lows ranging from 24 to 28 degrees. Outside right now, cloudy skies, 26 degrees at 1231. The Thornton Township Board of Trustees has fired two workers, including the boyfriend of Township Supervisor Tiffany Henyard. WBBM's Mike Krauser has the latest.
I would like to make a motion to terminate, effective immediately, Kamal Woods.
Trustee Stephanie Wiedemann moving to fire Henyard's boyfriend, who was hired by Henyard to run the township's youth program. This after he was involved in a brawl during a meeting last week.
Oh my God.
Woods got into it with an activist who had some less than kind words for Henyard. Another ally of the supervisor, William Moore, was also fired. Trustee Chris Gonzalez spoke to CBS News Chicago.
You know, with obviously what happened last week, it's just something we felt that was kind of the best, at least temporary, solution.
Henyard did not take part in the meeting. She was prevented from being on the ballot to keep her job that pays more than $200,000, and she's being challenged for re-election as the mayor of Dalton. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A federal judge in Boston is considering a request from several states to block President Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship for children of parents who are in the U.S. illegally. This is Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Joy Campbell.
This order targets innocent newborns that have done absolutely nothing wrong. They do not deserve to be punished solely because of their parents' immigration status, or because their parents are here on a work or student visa. They do not deserve to become stateless, where they have no rights or no protections or a claim to citizenship in any country.
Today's hearing comes a day after a judge in Washington State blocked the order and another in Maryland issued a nationwide pause on it.
discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are down today. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist of B. Riley Financial there in the Big Apple, joins us now in the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Art, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. What's your takeaway from today's government jobs report?
Well, I would tell you the jobs report was likely good enough. Came in a little light of expectations, but certainly enough to keep the unemployment rate in check, which actually went down from 4.1 to 4%. The labor force participation rate ticked up, which is a healthy sign. But the average hourly earnings came in a touch hotter. So that concern about the wage price pressure pushing on inflation became a concern. And I think that was received probably the most negatively. If you combine that with the University of Michigan, which has a survey that comes out monthly, there's a question in there about inflation expectations 1 year and 3 year and 5 years out. And the 1 year inflation expectations popped up about a percentage point from 3.3 to 4.3%. And that spooked people a little bit. I think the third thing that sort of put the kibosh on this week's rally clearly was the president talking about tariffs again. So he had a long, wide-ranging press conference, at which time he talked about using reciprocal tariffs again. So something that spooked the markets on Monday and then seemed to have gone back to the back burner and it was brought back to the front and center today. So combine those three things, and I think you've got a reason on a Friday to see a bit of a sell-off here.
As you like to remind us, it's about the economy and its earnings. You can ignore the headlines. Apply that to today. How does that make you feel?
Well, I still think that's true. So looking at the fourth quarter earnings reporting season, except for a couple of household names like Amazon, which had some weak guidance, 77% of companies have actually beaten their estimates, and the earnings growth is about 13.5% for the fourth quarter, much better than anticipated. And if you look at GDP growth in the fourth quarter, we exited the year close to 3% in GDP, which is well above the average of 2%. And looking forward to this year, the first quarter looks like we're north of 2.5% already in estimates. So I think if you've got an economy that's growing, you've got full employment, we're likely going to have earnings growth. And that's really what's fundamentally important. You can certainly get nervous about what the Fed might do with rates, and you can certainly get nervous about tariffs. But I think if you're a long-term investor, you want to pay attention to the fundamentals. And really right now, that's economic growth and earnings.
He's Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial, there in New York. So, Art, what's the biggest threat to financial markets right now?
Well, it's the new president's policy when they get sort of announced online or, you know, in ad hoc comments. I think that the well-thought-out policy should be deliberate and released in a timely fashion. So we came in Monday with a trifecta of tariff concerns that were announced on a Saturday and in large part using social media. And that, in and of itself is problematic. I think, you know, having discourse around what this actually means. Are we going to use tariffs as a blunt instrument, or are we actually going to use tariffs as a negotiating tool, which is really the 2018 playbook, the last time Trump was in the White House? So I think it's surprises around policy, and that likely is the biggest concern. I think for the most part, that, you know, anything else that surrounds that would be how long does it take for regulatory changes or a lighter regulatory touch to be instituted, and we don't get that until the president's able to seat his cabinet. But I think it'd be nice to mix in some good news with this administration versus what they've started with, which is clearly negative for economic growth and certainly for inflation, and that's all about tariffs.
Art, give us a couple of ideas. Are there any areas of the market that you really like?
Yeah, best performing sector thus far this year are financials, and that continues to be the case. They're going to be the net beneficiaries of a lighter regulatory touch and have more capital available to lend out, buy back their shares, and pay dividends. Our favorite name there is J.P. Morgan. We also think energy is going to be a non-consensus great call this year. And one of our favorite names there is Chevron. Very unchallenged multiple, trading at a very reasonable 8x forward 12-month earnings and throwing off a dividend that's close to 5%. So energy and financials, you don't have to worry about the Mag 7. You don't have to worry about tech and the direction of artificial intelligence. Just get back to the basics and look at the financials and look at energy.
Art, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. That's Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Up next on Entrepreneur Friday, advancing the business aspirations of students from Black and Brown communities.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Entrepreneur Friday. This afternoon, we're meeting the president and founding member of Joseph Business School, which focuses on entrepreneurship, leadership, and economic empowerment with a special emphasis on Black and Brown communities. We welcome Dr. Dolores Thomas, founding member and president of the Joseph Business School, right here in Forest Park, Illinois. Dr. Thomas, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Can you let us know, help us understand the Joseph Business School and the impact it's having on Black and Brown entrepreneurs?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. We've been in existence for over 25 years. We're a nationally accredited institution. And in our last 25 years, we've managed to help Black and Brown entrepreneurs to get to the million and multi-million dollar level in their business. And we essentially help them to understand all the fundamentals of running and starting a business and scaling it.
What about skill sets specifically does the Joseph Business School offer to entrepreneurs?
We offer a number of things. We have actually a full ecosystem where on our site, we also are partners with the Small Business Administration running our Small Business Development Center. We also have our International Trade Center. We have a Carver Innovation Center. So whether you have an invention and you're looking to build prototypes, or you have a service business and you're looking to identify how to acquire customers, we really help our entrepreneurs with the tools and the resources of how they can scale, how they can legally start their business, how they can make sure that their record keeping is good so that they can have audited financials in case they need to get access to debt or equity capital. And so we really help them to understand how to grow, scale, and be a sustainable business. We found that within those who have gone through our program function and operate at a much higher rate than the national average as far as how long their businesses last and the level of revenue that they achieve.
We're talking to Dr. Dolores Thomas, founding member and president of the Joseph Business School here in Forest Park. So, Dr. Thomas, technology is a key component to your training. How are you able to apply that and make sure that your entrepreneurs are all set there in the tech world?
Oh, absolutely. What you find is that the average entrepreneur, when you talk about small business, many of them are still doing a lot of things manually. And that was discovered particularly during the coronavirus, where a lot of them went out of business, whether that's a restaurant or a small business. And so we make sure that they are tech enabled, that they are keeping good data on their customer, good data on their systems, and making sure that that is backed up, making sure that they understand the importance of cybersecurity. And also, you know, when you look at artificial intelligence, whether that's ChatGPT and thinking about how to leverage technology in their business so that they are not doing things manually that could be done with technology to improve their efficiency and effectiveness in serving their customers and growing their business.
What's the biggest challenge for entrepreneurs in underserved communities?
You know, there are a number of things. One is really access to network where they have opportunities, whether that's access to capital or access to markets. And so one of the things that we do with our partnership, as we mentioned, with those governmental agencies, is to provide them opportunities to access networks where they can get not only government contracts through our program. We've managed to help entrepreneurs get over $2 billion in contracts. And that's just simply helping them to understand the program exists and they can do business with corporations and or with the government sector. The other is access to capital. A lot of times their level of financial literacy and ability to understand how to have the proper package and the business systems and structures to sustain acquiring capital, whether that's debt or equity, helping them to understand the language and the preparedness necessary for them to grow are some of the major areas that we have found to be some of the challenges.
Dr. Thomas, thank you so much for your time. Again, if you'd like to learn more, you can do so at jbs.edu. And that was Dr. Dolores Thomas, founding member and president of the Joseph Business School in Forest Park. Still to come, what lies ahead for the Bears following the death of owner Virginia McCaskey?
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, the death of Virginia Halas McCaskey yesterday at the age of 102 is prompting speculation about what's ahead of ownership for the Bears. Let's check in with Danny Ecker, reporter of Crane Chicago Business. Danny, thanks so much for your time this afternoon on a very interesting topic. Let's begin here. What could the death mean for the McCaskey family's control of the team, and what are the possibilities?
Well, you know, that's been one of the questions really hanging over the team for years, and obviously it's gotten more complicated as we've seen the valuation of these NFL franchises just soar, you know, by the billions. We're up to, the most recent estimates are $6.3 billion for the valuation of the Bears. And so, you know, when you have this family that, you know, Virginia has survived by 74 different people across four generations, you know, it gets a little complicated when you think about who might be interested in selling their stakes, what those are worth, and what that may do for the family's ability to maintain control of the team. But certainly it's been made clear by George McCaskey and others over the years that their intention is to make sure the team stays in the family. And the NFL has changed the rules over the years to make sure that some of its longstanding families aren't, you know, just basically pushed out of ownership because of, you know, number of splintered ownership stakes from larger families.
Yeah, they certainly have had plenty of time to dot their I's and cross their T's of moving forward. Death of a 102-year-old owner is not sneaking up on anyone. How might that the succession plan impact the team's pursuit of a new stadium? Kevin Warren continues to say that the plans are to have shovels in the ground in the 2025 year, which is this year.
Yeah, you know, that's been the most interesting thing, I think, in the background of the stadium discussion is kind of how, you know, when this would happen, obviously when she was at the age she was, and what the status of the stadium plan might be. I mean, it's still very unclear how the Bears would end up financing whatever they do, whether that's, you know, something in the city or in Arlington Heights or, you know, doing something at Soldier Field and extending their life there. But, you know, you're looking at a situation where, you know, the team, the family is not independently wealthy. Obviously, there's new aspects of ownership. The NFL now allows a limited number of private equity owners that could help bring in new cash to the team. And certainly that could, they could be some hungry buyers that might make some of the family members want to sell. But, you know, you're looking at ways that still the team has to figure out a solution to finance a stadium. Does that involve public money? And by the way, if it does involve a big public subsidy, you know, taxpayers would need to know the nuances of ownership because they got to know really who they're doing business with. So there are just other factors that are in play related to just not just the control of the team, but the stadium pursuit and as it may play out this year and in the next few years.
We're talking about the death of Virginia McCaskey with Danny Ecker of Crane Chicago Business. Danny, you cannot tell the story of the NFL without telling the story of George Halas and the Chicago Bears. In light of the evolving NFL ownership rules, is there anything that's very favorable for the Bears after the death of Virginia?
Well, I mean, I think that's one of those things that we're going to see how this all plays out. I mean, none of us really know what the succession plan entails. Other than, you know, there are obviously a number of McCaskey, her children, there are nine living children, and, you know, a number of them have been involved with the team and still work for the team for a number of years. And so, you know, no, we don't really know exactly how this is going to play out. It might get a little complicated. They likely will have an estate tax bill. We're not sure what moves they've made behind the scenes over the years that might, you know, change the control of the team or who really are the people that are calling the shots. But, you know, I think that certainly it's you're in a good position if you're the Bears because you do have a asset that is worth so much money and, you know, a massively cash flowing franchise. But, you know, it's still just most of what of the fallout of the death of Virginia McCaskey are things that we don't know yet, but hopefully we'll learn some clues and signals on what the impact will be over the next weeks and months based on different things we hear and see from the Bears.
Danny, thanks so much for your time. That's Danny Ecker, reporter with Crane Chicago Business. You'll find past programs, a reminder, and later today, a podcast at this hour at WBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.